But at the end of the day, it's a skill. I go to the gym and I practice my craft, and how do I do when I play the game? So for me, that's being a trial lawyer. That's being in a courtroom. And from the beginning of voir dire and jury selection until the last rebuttal argument and closing argument, how I do in that scene is what I really use to measure myself as a professional.
Many years ago, I read a book titled Consultant's Bible, about 15 years ago or so. The gentleman who wrote it at the time of publishing was well into his 60s. And he said, I study so much every day. Every 2 weeks, I look back and say to myself, oh, what an idiot I was 2 weeks ago.
You are listening to the Grow Law Firm podcast, where each guest shares actionable, practical ideas with you on how to get more clients, expand your reach, and grow your law firm's revenue and profit. Here's your host, Sasha Burson.
Hi there. I have a small but really meaningful favor to ask you. You know, I watch At The Stats on our YouTube channel and Spotify channel, wherever most people listen and watch our podcast, and I see that over 80% of everybody who listens to it regularly is not a subscriber. I'm asking you to subscribe to this channel, and the reason for that is my mission and the mission of my team is to help as many small law firm owners to learn how to transform their law firms into better businesses, and so they in turn enjoy better lives. When you hit subscribe button, you tell these platforms that this is content worth listening, worth viewing, and they in turn will show it to many other small law firm owners and hopefully help me fulfill our mission of helping them create a better business and enjoy better lives. So would you please do me this favor? It would mean the world to me. And hit the subscribe button. And my promise to you is that I will continue to work hard at creating good content with practical ideas that help you and your teams grow better law firms. Thank you. Welcome to another great episode of Grow Law Firm Podcast. I have an amazing guest here with me today, Stuart Rodson, the founder and leader of Rodson, Weissman & Bold PI Law Firm based in Florida. Stuart, you started your law firm back in 2001, and while it's a small law firm, you have attracted tremendous cases, really meaningful cases, multiple eight-figure verdicts. Perhaps you could share with our listeners and viewers your story, how you got here.
Well, Sasha, one step at a time. You know, that's how I got here. It's someone once said to me, you know, the two cliche phrases are the journey of a million miles begins with one step. Or how do you eat an elephant? Not that I eat elephants, but how do you eat an elephant? You know, one bite at a time. So started slower and worked hard and all kinds of ideas and reasons, I think, that we got here. And I feel like we're still getting here. You know, I think the journey is still happening and we're still building and changing and growing into different areas and different ways of doing what we do. So yeah, over 23 years, a lot's happened.
So based on what I learned about you before the podcast, you seem to attract really meaningful cases. While so many small law firm owners, similar size to yours and larger, tend to have a problem building any meaningful pipeline of cases. Was there a breakthrough moment somewhere along this 23-year journey that got you to the point where you started attracting cases like the ones that you do?
You know, that's a great question, but it's not so simple as that. I think that when you say about attracting great cases, yeah, there's that. There's if you have competence and you're good at what you do and you're sociable, and you're willing to speak to people and, you know, meet people, then you can attract great cases. But it's also true that a lot of lawyers have great cases already. And one lawyer might put certain work and take certain risk and be willing to stare things down on that same exact case compared to another lawyer who is looking to, you know, for a quick fix or a speedy resolution without putting a lot of effort into it. Same case, great case, but it looks like a great case because one lawyer did something differently about it than the other. And just because, by the way, you look at my website or you can see my results and it's a 8-figure this or that, maybe it should be more. So you don't know just by looking at it. It has to be substantive and real. And so it's a really complicated answer in a way. It's not just I attract a great case. Maybe I attract the same case as the lawyer down the street. One of us puts really good work into it and it turns out differently than the other. So I started this with wanting to be as good of a tactical lawyer as I could possibly be. I wanted to be the best trial lawyer that I could be. So when I was a young lawyer, it was all about developing skills and learning from other lawyers older than me and more experienced than me. And I still want to do that, even if they're not older than me, if they're younger than me, but more experienced than me. And so learning how to be the best I can be is something that I've never stopped doing. I do it even this morning. I'm always trying to learn and be better than I was yesterday.
Love that. Many years ago, I read a book titled Consultant's Bible. Well, 15 years ago or so, the gentleman who wrote it at the time of publishing was well into his 60s. And he said, I study so much every day. Every 2 weeks, I look back and say to myself, oh, what an idiot I was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I try not to be that hard on myself, but I get the idea.
He was Barry Weiss, I think, was his name. Yeah. Just a thought powerhouse. He said every day, dedicated 2 to 3 hours every day to studying how to be better at his craft every single day. That's a lot of learning, and that's a lot of strive for perfection, although it's an ever-moving goalpost. Something that you caught that really caught my attention. I'm not a lawyer. I cannot qualify an attorney's work. So I cannot tell who is a great attorney and who's not a great attorney. My assumption is that there are a lot of great attorneys who are not social, who are not willing to speak to others. When you started out on this journey 23 some years ago, and I know that you were practicing attorney for about a decade prior to that, how did you go about being social, meeting other attorneys, developing this network of attorneys who later on or at some point became a source of some of these cases?
Well, I studied about that too. I mean, while I was learning about how to be the best trial lawyer I could be, and put our cases together and there's a lot of different skill sets. There's building a case, there's legal research, there's medical research, there's factual discovery and factual research. There's all kinds of things that we do to try to put a case together to be a winner in court. But there's also courtroom skill, and that involves a lot of emotional intelligence. So that meant that if I was going to walk into a courtroom and speak to strangers about a case and try to persuade them that my case was the righteous side and that our side was the one that should win, and that the verdict in the case should match appropriately to the problem, the injury, the loss, or the damage, then I needed to craft those skills. And that actually started with becoming comfortable with who I am. I remember as a young lawyer, I wasn't totally comfortable with myself and in a courtroom. And if I wasn't there, then I wouldn't be successful. And that was a place where I really got exposed to other people judging me and the facts of my case. So I had to do a journey of self-discovery myself to be so that I'm speaking to you the exact same voice that I would speak to a jury, that it's coming from the inside out. And that took a lot of, that was a personal journey. It has nothing to do with the practice of law and everything to do with self-actualization, learning who I am and being me. As far as the other part of the practice of law is, you know, the entrepreneurial side, rainmaking, you know, meeting people that have will develop faith in you to send you a case and trust you with their own client, or they're the client themselves, and how are they going to make that bond with you and trust you. So that is its own set of skills, and that I studied too. I mean, I learned from people how to do that, which really came down to figuring out ways to marry the business side of the practice of law with my personal, you know, things I like to do personally, the things I'm passionate about, whatever they are, whether it's enjoying and collecting a bottle of red wine, or snow skiing, or fishing, or bike riding, or any of the leisurely things I like to do, find myself doing them with people that, you know, might want to do business with me or me with them. And so marrying my personal life and my business life in some respects has been a lot of it too. Not that it's completely indivisible, but there's a lot of intersection between what I'm doing in the practice of law as a business person and what I'm doing as an individual Stuart Ratzen human being. And that's true for both the rainmaking that you might study or think about, as well as being a trial lawyer. Because after all, I have to go into court, I start a trial with voir dire or jury selection, there could be 100 people in the room, and me, and I'm leading a discussion among 100 people to try to learn about them and find out whether they're the right juror for a given case. And then to select it down to 6 or 8 people, some jurisdictions it's 12, and bring them the story of the case in a trustworthy way. So it's similar sort of skills. And yet sometimes I can be completely introverted and want to stay home and read a book or just watch sports on a couch in my house and not see anybody. So, you know, it's a little bit of a balance.
In other words, you live your truth. You live your true self.
I try to. I think, a good goal for any human being, regardless of what they do. But I think especially for what I do, it's forced me. In order for me to strive to be a lawyer in court, a trial lawyer in court dealing with the human condition, I've had to be upfront and honest about my own human condition.
That's deep.
Yeah. Yeah. People think what I do is not like that. They think it's just, you know, ambulance chasing, you know, money hunting kind of thing, but it's actually a pretty profound way to live a life. It can be.
Mm-hmm. There's an old saying that came to mind, which is your personal network equals your personal net worth. It's often not the case, but it sounds like, based on what you told me, your hobbies, skiing, fishing, I believe you mentioned cycling and something else. I forget what the fourth one was. But you said that
drinking wine.
Drinking wine. Oh, that one did not stick. So these hobbies of yours, they, through those hobbies, you connected with other people. And those people, through getting to know you, helped you elevate your business. Did I understand that correctly?
I think that's true. I mean, I think that relationships are the key to life. So how do we forge relationships if it's not through interests, you know, shared interests, shared time outside of the office where you get to know people? And whether it's over a meal or a glass of wine or on a fishing boat or on a hike or a bike ride or a camping trip or a ski run or a chairlift. You know, they live life together to get to know them.
Do you recall when you got your first really big case?
Well, I remember my first 8-figure verdict, I remember. It's a story of success in a courtroom. It didn't turn out to be a successful recovery. It's really sort of a trying scenario, but I remember that case very well.
Do you remember how you got that case?
I was brought in as a trial lawyer by another very well respected man, lawyer, and friend of mine, past president of the Florida Bar, named Herman Russomanno. And he asked me if I would help him try the case.
You must have built quite a reputation to have president of Bar Association reach out to you and ask you to help him try the case.
It felt good. It was a sign to me that I was doing something right.
I wonder, what was the journey that led up to that point? Like, how many years have you practiced law at that point of time?
So that was about, maybe that was 14 years ago. It wasn't the first big case that I worked on. I mean, by any means. And I'd worked on and recovered bigger cases. But it was the first jury verdict that I obtained an eight-figure result in. There's a difference in our practice. There's cases that we work on that we persuade the other side to resolve it with us, and they settle and they write a check or several checks and we resolve the case. And that can be for a substantial amount of money. But we only do that because we're competent to go into court and try cases. So I'm always gravitating toward my work in the courtroom. What can I do in court? I'm a trial lawyer. If someone wants to settle with me, it's because they understand that we'll probably do better in court than they can do in the settlement room. So if I were an athlete, and I were a basketball player and I had a position, let's say I was a point guard, I'd want to play that position as best as I could. And the better I am at it, the more I'm going to make money and have fame and success and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, it's a skill. I go to the gym and I practice my craft. And how do I do when I play the game? So for me, that's being a trial lawyer. That's being in a courtroom. And from the beginning of voir dire and jury selection until the last rebuttal argument and closing argument, how I do in that scene is what I really use to measure myself as a professional. So when you ask me the question, I'm thinking to my first big jury verdict, not my first big case.
Got it. No, that makes great sense. And it's an amazing story. I assume it took a great level of confidence in your friend, the former Bar Association president, to trust you with handling the case. That is, I assume that gentleman knew hundreds, if not thousands, of attorneys. Many of them were probably excellent trial attorneys. So it's a remarkable testament to you.
Yeah, thank you.
If you look back 3 decades when you started practicing law, is there any advice that you would give yourself, your much younger self?
Good question. I would remind myself that a couple of things. I would remind myself that this is a marathon, not a sprint. There's no shortcut. It takes hard work. I would encourage myself to keep doing what I did do, which is to invest my time and energy into my personal journey to be the best person, the best human that I could be. And I would remind myself to do what I have done. I remind myself this even today, which is you have to be willing to take risk. You have to be comfortable being uncomfortable. It's not easy, and you have to be able to stare it down to do what we do. I mean, this is David versus Goliath stuff. We're small law firms. We have good resources, but they're limited compared to who we go up against. And it means that you have to take risk. And do things that you didn't expect you could do and withstand some discomfort and pain that you didn't think you could withstand and tolerate discomfort that you didn't think you could tolerate in order to be successful at this. 100%. I would remind myself that every day.
No regrets?
I don't know if anyone could really say they have a life with no regrets. So I have
professional regrets.
I think professional regrets, even there, like I think there's things that I could have done differently. Maybe in the manner that I've done them, but I'm proud of what I've done. I'm proud of the fact that no one's perfect, and I don't measure myself by that perfection that the man you were talking about is. I give space for myself for my limitations, you know, things I've done wrong or incorrectly. I think that that's part of it. I can't love all of myself without understanding that all of me includes things that I might not love or like and things that I might regret. But for the most part, on balance, I feel proud of what I've accomplished, and I still feel like I'm doing it. You know, I know I'm 3 decades into this, but I feel like, you know, there's still a lot for me to accomplish.
You're, holy cow, you're probably one of the most grounded, most content, and probably one of the happiest people I've ever met, and we've known each other for all of half hour.
Well, part of it is because I'm making peace, and this is something that is newer to me. Like when I was younger, I was not the same. I was definitely more consumed with perfection or much more impatient. And I think now I've made some peace with the fact that, you know, we all have, you know, we have to be patient. We have our limitations. We have limitations of what we can control. But if we work hard, if we're willing to take risk, if we're willing to take the righteous cause. And also, I think one thing I'm really proud of in my practice is, you know, listen, I don't think everyone I've met loves me. I don't think I've only made friends without making enemies. You know, I don't think that's true. I think I've made a lot of friends. I've done a lot of things right. But I have lost my train of thought there. I just think that it's important to be patient with myself and accept that, you know, if I work hard, I'm willing to take the risk, I'm willing to be on the right side of cases. Oh, I know what I was going to say. One of the things I'm most proud of is in the actual practice of law, day to day, the decisions I make, the things that I do when no one's looking, I follow what I think is the right way. I think we practice law here the right way, and we make the right decisions. We do things professionally and above board and honestly, and I'm proud of that as much as anything.
Hmm. I know you have a daughter. I read your biography a little bit. I don't know if you have any other children other than your daughter.
Yeah, we have a daughter and a son.
How old are they now?
25 and 23.
So my kids are a bit younger. And I have 2 teenagers and a newborn. How do you impart this almost Zen-like state, or how have you imparted on your now adult children this Zen-like state? Were you able to impart it on them?
I don't know. I mean, they're their own people. I've always let them be who they are. They're totally, they're same household, 2 years apart, and we've encouraged them to be whatever it is that makes them be, you know, let them be their true self. So our daughter is, they're both brilliant. She's blessed in humanities and English and wants to be a lawyer, and she's working in our firm right now, and she's taking the LSAT and wants to go to law school. Our son is very science oriented. He's a math science genius, and he always has been. And I never want to, you know, would I love a son to work with me and be a lawyer with me? Sure. But he wants to, he's naturally gravitated towards science and medicine, and he's applying to medical school right now. So I guess I've just tried to encourage them to be who they are, not who I want them to be in terms of the things that they love. What I want them to be honorable and ethical and caring and loving people, and I think that they are, but I think that's not because of me. I think that's just how they are. My addition to the mix is to encourage them to fulfill their true selves.
Well, let's imagine a hypothetical scenario that your daughter decides to strike out on her own because she decides to pursue a different practice area, and she doesn't want to work under her father's umbrella.
I don't think she'll work under her father's umbrella anyway. If she wants to, she can, and she knows that, I think. But I think she's going to do what fulfills her, and I'm going to encourage that. And if that's working with me, great. If it's doing something else, then that's good too. I trust her.
Imagine that she has practiced law either at your firm or somewhere else for 5 years, and now she comes to you and she's like, "Dad, I'm going to strike out on my own." What's the most important advice or two you're going to give her to make sure that she will become a successful attorney and a law firm owner?
Well, I think I've done that already in this interview. I'd add to it that, you know, that there is a business side to the profession. It's a profession, and I think that you can be out of balance on it either way. I think there's plenty of people that, for them, the practice of law is just a business. They're not in a professional mindset, and they approach it as purely a matter of dollars and cents. And I think that's how they do it. And they make money and they do well, and that's okay. And I'm not trying to judge it. I'm just, for me, I feel like you miss something there. It's a great profession. And so that becomes out of balance to the actual skill and craft and honor of being a lawyer, and the commitment to the principles of what the profession's all about. You know, it's a profession that demands adherence and allegiance to it, you know, as something that's honorable. And that's important for the integrity of the profession. So, on the other hand, we're not just professionals if we're striking out on our own. And we're running a business, and we have people that are dependent on us as clients and as employees. We can't do our job unless we have cases, and we can't have cases unless we understand the things we're talking about earlier about networking and meeting people and marrying the things you like to do with the ability to connect with others and generate cases and be a rainmaker. So there's a professional side and business side, and they require a balance. For your own sake, as putting food on your table and making a living, and for the sake of the profession, which requires that adherence to the honor and the principles and integrity that the practice of law demands for its own survival. You know, we have to balance these things. So you can't, if all you are is a lawyer, you sit around your desk and you want to read books all day or read case law on the computer, that's fun, except you'll not have a single case unless someone else you work for is bringing them in. And if all you do is bring in cases and you're just, you know, networking and counting money and you're not practicing law, then you're not connected to the honor and skill set of the profession. And so you're tempted to maybe, you know, do things that would denigrate the profession. So that's why we need to have the balance, so that, you know, we provide great skill and great craft to the clients that need it and to the system that demands it. And also that we have clients and we have income and we do well to support our families and the people that work for us and, of course, our clients. So that's the kind of thing I would talk to her about.
Great wisdom. All throughout this interview. Really appreciate the insights. Remarkable success. Congratulations on that. It sounds like you worked incredibly hard and you were very focused. So, and obviously the results are there to prove it. If other attorneys wanted to check out your website, the cases that you have worked on, where would they find you?
We're at rwblawyers.com. And you know, the best thing that another lawyer, if they want to see how we do things, they could come check out a focus group. We do a lot of mock trials and focus groups here at the office. And if they wanted to reach me, and people do this all the time, they reach out to me, they want to see how it's done or test their own cases. Doing that this Thursday for somebody. We test our own cases with mock trials and focus groups almost once a week. And when people want to, and they want to associate with us or just see how we do it, they bring their own case and we test their cases too.
Love it. Where in South Florida are you based out of?
Coconut Grove.
Got it.
Which is okay. It's a little village in Miami.
Mm-hmm. How do people reach out to you directly, or do you want them to go through the website?
Well, they can call me 786-744-6420.
There you go. Yeah. Stuart, what a pleasure it's been to have you on the podcast.
All right, Sasha, have a great day. Thank you for making this happen for me.
Thanks for listening to the Grow Law Firm podcast. If you liked the ideas shared in this episode, help a fellow lawyer out by sharing a link to the episode. This episode is powered by the team of experts in client attraction, growlawfirm.com. Do you want a complimentary growth plan for your law firm? Request it at growlawfirm.com/blueprint.